Middle East and Africa. South Africa. Off to a good start. The coalition government has boosted confidence. Now for the hard part.
For most of its modern history, South Africa has been governed by a single dominant party. The National Party, Architects of Apartheid, was in charge from 1948 to 1994. After white rule ended, the African National Congress, or ANC, became the hegemon. Following years of corruption and economic stagnation, its preeminence was finally checked at general elections in May. The ANC lost its parliamentary majority for the first time, forcing it to form a coalition government to stay in power. That arrangement, known as the Government of National Unity, or GNU, is a seismic shift for the fledgling democracy. Some 100 days on, the cabinet was sworn in on July 3rd, it has boosted confidence. Nearly three times as many South Africans think the GNU is doing well, 58%, as think it is doing poorly, 21%, according to a poll conducted in September by the Social Research Foundation, or SRF, a think tank. The rand has risen against the dollar. The Johannesburg Stock Exchange has recorded record highs. There are palpably lekker, or nice vibes, for the first time since Cyril Ramaphosa replaced Jacob Zuma as president in 2018. Yet if the fillip from the GNU is to last longer than the fleeting Ramaphoria did, the government must fix the chronic problems holding back sub-Saharan Africa's largest economy. On paper, the GNU is made up of 10 parties. In practice, only two matter, the ANC and the erstwhile official opposition, a liberal party known as the Democratic Alliance, or DA. They have 20 and 6 ministers, respectively, of the 32 in cabinet, and 41% and 22% of the seats in parliament. The government's success and survival depends on the big two, not the myriad minor parties, mostly brought in by Mr. Ramaphosa in an effort to placate those in the ANC who are angry that the Party of Black Liberation has teamed up with the DA, seen by many of them as a white party. The GNU is not cohesive. It has no systematic way of taking decisions. Ad hoc is its modus operandi. One senior figure describes working in government as a bit like fighting with a jellyfish. The civil service, hollowed out by the ANC, lacks effective bureaucrats. Yet the vacuum that is the South African state creates a chance for those with the vim to fill it. For the most part, this has meant DA ministers. Leon Schreiber, the Home Affairs Minister, has reduced the backlog of visa applications from around 300,000 to about 100,000. He has announced a new visa for remote workers and a simpler system for skilled migrants that has delighted firms, some of which had stopped bringing in staff because of the Kafkaesque hassle. Other DA ministers are working on sweeping reforms that will expand internet access in poor rural areas and sell off unused state-owned land, among other things. South Africans have noticed these early successes. In the SRF poll, 62% of black voters say the DA is doing well in the GNU, an impressive tally given that the party probably won less than 5% of the black vote at the recent elections. Some ANC bigwigs seem affronted by such good governance, complaining in internal party meetings that they are being made to look bad by the DA. Mr. Ramaphosa is unlikely to be too bothered. His own legacy depends on the GNU. He generally backs the reforms the DA ministers are pushing. Operation Vulindlela, an initiative run by the Presidency and the Finance Ministry, had identified visa reform as a priority, for instance. The president's allies in the cabinet, such as Hosienso Ramakgopa, the electricity minister, and Enoch Godongwana, the finance minister, share some of these reformist instincts. Crucially, and perhaps naively, ANC strategists do not see the DA as a threat to their base. They're fishing in different ponds, says Franz Cronier of the SRF. He describes the GNU as an arrangement between the established middle class and the aspirational middle class, between the mostly DA-voting white suburbs and the mostly ANC-voting black areas on the urban outskirts. By this logic, both parties have strong electoral incentives to make the arrangement work. Two big challenges loom, however. The first is that there are those in each party who remain sceptical of the GNU. The DA will need to show it is a break on the ANC's worst ideas, like the proposal for catastrophically expensive state-run health insurance. Some in the ANC want the GNU to fail because they do not agree with its reforms and fear that it will make it harder to make money from public office or both. If an anti-GNU candidate replaces Mr. Ramaphosa as party leader at the ANC's elections in 2027, the coalition could crumble. The second is the sheer scale of South Africa's problems. At a meeting between Mr. Ramaphosa and business leaders last week, there was talk of a stretch goal of GDP growth of more than 3% per year. It has averaged less than 1% since 2012. But that will require more than small-bore reforms by the odd minister. It needs urgent efforts to overcome the main barriers to growth, including pervasive corruption and crime, unreliable electricity, irregular and frequently contaminated water supplies, and clogged railways and ports that make it hard for exporters. The stakes could barely be higher. The GNU has given South Africa another chance to become the prosperous, liberal and united giant that the continent desperately needs. If it fails to seize the opportunity, populist alternatives stand waiting to take advantage of another false dawn.